Corporation, world's largest radio manufacturer, presents your Radio Hall of Fame. Each week, for one full hour, the stars made great by your recognition of their achievements are brought to you by Philco Corporation. Makers today of radar and electronic equipment to help win the war. Makers tomorrow of products for good living in a world at peace. Philco has assisted in discovering your choices for the Radio Hall of Fame by the editors of that famous weekly of show business, Variety. This afternoon, your Radio Hall of Fame has crowns of laurel prepared for Hildegard, Elizabeth Bergner, Onslow Stevens, the Three Sons, and of course, Paul Whiteman. Your guest master of ceremonies is not only one of the foremost dancers of the day, but is an accomplished comedian in pantomime and the spoken word, all of which he has proven in his film role of the Scarecrow in The Wizard of Oz and in the sparkling part he performed in Stage Door Canteen, as well as in the musical comedy hit By Jupiter, which ran over a year on Broadway. He is especially dear to your hearts because he was in the first USO unit ever to entertain our troops offshore, and because he has just returned from a 5-month stint of performing for our men in the Pacific, Ray Bolger.
Thank you, and how do you do, ladies and gentlemen? It's a pleasure appearing on this program with such artists as Hildegard, who is here with two songs, Elizabeth Bergner, who is here with the two Mrs. Carrolls, and Paul Whiteman, who is here with two stomachs. And I'm here. Too bad. Well, what do you want, Sinatra? Oh, dear. Everything seems to have changed since I got back from overseas. There's even a new recruiting slogan for sailors. Join the Navy and see Eleanor. And that's not all. Thanksgiving Day, I was walking past the meat market on Broadway. The butcher had his cleaver raised over a turkey, and just as he was about to swing, the turkey looked up at him and said, "Please don't do it. I haven't seen Oklahoma yet." But the greatest changes are in radio. Ah, those radio commercials. They're beauts. Does your cigarette taste different lately? They do? Well, where are you getting them? Presenting young Dr. Malone. Nurse, hand me the scalpel. Such a chloroform. Scalpel. Needle. Now tell me, where's the patient? And the next program, an announcer says, "Guaranteed, not for years, not for life, but forever." Then President Roosevelt comes on for a fireside chat. Well, that's all right. Ready. But my favorite is a certain daytime serial. When last we saw Mrs. Higginbottom, she was knitting a sweater for her little one. The needle slipped, stabbed her in the back. She falls into the baby's crib, knocks the kid unconscious. Her scream wakes her father, who falls out of bed and breaks a bottle of Johnny Walker. His wife steps out, cuts herself on the broken glass, and in the middle of this gory mess, the announcer comes to the microphone and says, "Isn't life wonderful?" And there's that quiz character. Next question comes from the balcony. Up in the balcony, Mr. Underdunk in the balcony. "I have a lady doctor." "You have a lady doctor?" "No, I have a lady doctor." "Oh. This next question is worth 247,000 green stamps. What type of dancing was prominent in the year 1926? "You're right." "What did you say?" "Oh, the Charleston. That is correct. Give that lady one box of fudgies. 12 delicious fudgies. Chocolate covered to keep their insides warm." "And what do they have inside?" "Nuts." "Now try one of these fudgies today. First, remove one from the box. Now, remove the wrapper. Now, open your mouth. Now, place the fudgy into your mouth. Now, bite into it. Now, try and open your mouth." Ladies and gentlemen, may I now present a problem in radio mathematics? Glamour, plus an international reputation, plus a superb individuality, equals radio's most unique starring personality. Your approval has made her Raleigh Cigarette Program one of the 10 most popular shows on the air. she certainly deserves her niche in your Philco Hall of Fame. She should really have two niches. One in your microphone room devoted to your radio favorites, and the other in your cafe corner. Because she is the highest paid cafe star in the world. The girl who took Milwaukee out of the beer category into the cafes. Hildegard. Hildegard, really, I'm looking forward to hearing you play the piano today on the Radio Hall of Fame.
Oh, thank you, Ray. But do you mind if I make a suggestion?
No, go ahead.
I have a much greater talent. I tell incomparable jokes, and I think they ought to be in the Hall of Fame, too.
Jokes?
Yes. Here's one of them. Tell me, why is a Hessian in delicate health like a place where you buy cold meat and pickles?
I don't know. Why is a Hessian in delicate health like a place where you buy cold meat and pickles?
Because it's a delicatessen. How did my drummer get here? Ray, but how did you like it?
I'm looking forward to hearing you play the piano.
Oh, that's sweet. Well, here's another one. I really think this should be on the Hall of Fame, too, and it's so funny, Ray.
The piano is over there.
Well, anyway, here it is. Do you know why some of the new long dresses are called sausage dresses?
No.
Because they're bolognese. Get it? Get it? Sausage, bolognese, bolognese.
Does your joke smell different lately?
That's all right, Ray.
Hildy, the piano, please. The piano.
Oh, dear.
Are you finished telling jokes?
Oh,
because if you're not finished telling jokes, the piano is still there.
Well, don't worry. When I'm finished telling jokes, the piano will still be here.
Yeah, but will this audience?
Oh, I think so. It's so cold outside. Well, anyway, here's another joke I think is simply wonderful. It's a riddle. Why do firemen wear red suspenders?
To keep their pants up.
That just shows you how a new joke gets around.
Hildegard, will you please go to the piano?
Oh, all right, Ray. I'll go quietly.
Hildegard is now approaching the piano gracefully. She is at the piano now. And now...
I am sitting. I'm sitting at the piano, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm going to play and sing a song which I first heard when I entertained in a cafe in Paris some years ago. The composer of the song, Jean Blanc, worked in the same cafe and he taught it to me. It's based on a simple musical scale. Harold Rome recently wrote a lovely English lyric, and it is called, All of a Sudden My Heart Sings. All of a sudden my heart sings, when I remember little things, the way you dance and hold me tight, the way you kiss and say goodnight, the crazy things we say and do, the fun it is to be with you. Remembering all those little things, all of a sudden my heart sings. The secret way you press my hand to let me know you understand. The wind and rain upon your face, the breathless world of your embrace, your little laugh and half surprise, the starlight gleaming in your eyes, the magic thrill that's in your touch. Oh, darling, I love you so much. The secret way you press my hand to show me that you understand, the wind and rain upon your face, the breathless world of your embrace, your little laugh and half surprise, the starlight gleaming in your eyes. Remembering all those little things, All of a sudden, my heart
wondered how Hildegard can sing with such warmth and look so cool. Cool. That word ought to suggest something to you, Glenn Riggs.
Certainly does, Ray. Wartime living has given many American women a new and greater understanding of how useful a refrigerator can be. As foods became harder to get, owners of Philco refrigerators began to realize the value of the many services it performs, besides chilling foods and making ice cubes. Meat shortages, for instance, taught many families the value of the frozen food compartment in their pre-war Philco. They could buy meat when available or when they had points, freeze it in the frozen food compartment, and keep it until needed. Shortages of ice cream resulted in many women making their own frozen desserts with the aid of their Philco refrigerator. And with leftovers becoming an essential part of the household economy, the moist cold storage provided in many Philco refrigerators kept those leftovers fresh and appetizing. Yes, many families have learned how Philco advanced design helps them make the most of their allotment of food. When victory is won, look forward to a finer, even more useful Philco refrigerator, designed for better, more economical living, for greater service and convenience in your home. Watch Philco in refrigeration after the war.
Hildegard! Oh, Hildegard!
Oh, yes, Ray, what is it?
Look, now, I'm a little nervous about being master of ceremonies, and since you've had so much experience in that field, I thought maybe you might help me along.
Oh, I'd love to. Yes, I will.
Great. Now, if I make any mistakes in this next introduction, just correct me.
Yes, all right. Go ahead, Ray.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Now, Ray, they know what they are.
I was just giving them the benefit of the doubt.
All right, go ahead with your introduction.
Okay. It gives me now great pleasure.
Ray, no one is interested in your emotions.
At this time?
Of course it's at this time. The program isn't tomorrow.
Now, Miss Hildegard, one more interruption from you and it may be... Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure at this time to introduce Paul Whiteman. There, I said it and I'm glad.
Good.
Thank you, Ray, and thank you, Hildegard, for that joint introduction.
What's it going to be, Paul?
Well, Ray, at this spot, we usually play a little dido called Now and Then. But today, we're going to do what should be called a forever. We're going to shuffle off a tune that we first presented away back in 1926 and play it exactly as we recorded it 18 years ago. And I think it's going to prove that a really good arrangement is always good, and it also proves that you can't keep a good tune down. Witness that this one was used as the theme of the picture Since You Went Away. And Variety lists it as number 4 of the tunes most played this week.
And what's the tune?
The ever popular Together with Jimmy Carroll giving out with the vocal. Thank you.
Our next guests, the Three Sons, are being installed in your Radio Hall of Fame today because, according to Variety, they are one of the best instrumental trios in the country, today celebrating their fifth year at the Piccadilly Hotel, and because they originated the unusual combination of electric organ, guitar, and accordion. You will know just how unusual it is when you hear them play and Artie Dung sing, "Don't Fence Me In," the Three Sons.
Lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me be through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze. Listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in. Just turn me loose. Let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western skies. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise. I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences. Gaze at the moon till I lose my senses. Can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in. Thank you. Just turn me loose, let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western stars. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise. I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences, gaze at the moon till I lose my senses. Can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in.
After I had seen Elizabeth Bergner in her play, The Two Mrs. Carrolls, I had the startling feeling that I had not observed an actress portraying a role, but a woman living an experience. In my humble opinion, that is acting refined to the purity of highest art, the kind of acting which won for Elizabeth Bergner from one of the greatest of all dramatic critics, St. John Irvin, such a phrase as, "She is worthy to stand with Bernhardt and Duse." Today, we are privileged to present Elizabeth Bergner, supported by Onslow Stevens of Broadway and Hollywood, and the other members of the original cast in a condensation of her current play, The Two Mrs. Carrolls, which has just celebrated its 500th performance. The play concerns Sally Carroll, a slender, red-haired, lovely creature of 26 or 27, as enacted by Elizabeth Bergner, the second wife of a slightly older artist husband, Jeffrey, played by Onslow Stevens. Apparently very much in love, they are occupying a villa on the Riviera. Jeffrey has promised to paint his wife's picture, but loses interest in this when he meets Cecily Harden. Meanwhile, Sally becomes ill with a strange illness, marked by fainting fits, an illness diagnosed by her bumbling doctor as nerves. Her former fiancé, Penny Pennington, visiting his aunt in a nearby villa, and still very much in love with Sally, is deeply concerned about this illness, which has lasted for 2 months. Jeffrey receives a mysterious phone call from someone in Monte Carlo, and announcing that it is about a painting commission, drives to that city. While he is gone, Sally receives a surprising visit from Jeffrey's first wife, Harriet Carroll.
And you came all the way from England just to see me?
Yes, I joined my brother in Monte Carlo this afternoon. Jeffrey's in Monte Carlo, isn't he?
Yes. He went about some work.
No, my dear. He's gone to see my brother.
What?
Frank rang him up this morning and asked to see about some money matter, but actually he only did it that I might find you alone.
Find me alone? Why?
Sally, there's something I must tell you. Well, something you must know.
Please do.
You won't want to believe me. You'll think that after all these years, I'm still jealous of your happiness.
But why don't you tell me?
Sally, when I married Jeffrey, I was happy. But at the end of 2 years, he openly hated me. Everything I did, everything about me.
No, no. Oh, you mustn't believe that. Oh, no. He was just sorry because he couldn't get away, you know.
He could have if he'd wanted to, but he hadn't the courage.
Oh,
it was easier to go on hating.
Oh, but
I used to think sometimes his hatred was almost injurious.
Oh, but that isn't like Jeffrey at all. I assure you it isn't. And then, you see, anyway, I'm ill, and I promised Jeffrey to lie down in the afternoon. So, if you don't mind, I'm ill.
Sally, that's why you must listen to me. When Jeffrey finally asked for a divorce, I was angry. And in my anger, I swore that he should never have his freedom while I lived.
Oh, but I know.
He left in a rage, and I never expected to see him again. But in a day or so, he came back.
Who, Jeffrey came back?
He said he was sorry to have hurt me, and would I let him stay for a little while?
Really?
Sally, I suppose in his letters to you at that time, Jeffrey didn't tell you I was ill.
Ill? No, I don't think he did. I might have forgotten.
During my illness, Jeffrey was so kind to me, so tender. I used to think it was worth dying to have Jeffrey so sweet to me. And I would have died, Sally, if some power hadn't saved me.
Yes? What power saved you?
One night late, Jeffrey brought me my warm milk and sleeping draught as usual. After he went away, I lay there quite still. And I went over in my mind my life with Jeffrey. And then, quite suddenly, I knew.
What? What did you know?
I knew that Jeffrey was not the sort of man to lose the woman he loved. I knew he was only pretending to be kind to me for a few weeks, so that he might be free of me forever.
Free forever? Say, are you trying to tell me?
Yes, Sally. I was being slowly poisoned.
What? You are mad. Well, you shouldn't be allowed to go about free.
Why do you suppose Jeffrey's paid me half his income all these years, month after month?
Why? I can tell you why. Because he would have paid anything to be free of you. And I can give you another reason why. As a tribute to me, he said so at the time. Oh, yes. A tribute to our love. And it's cost me many a dress and many a hat and many a pleasure, great ones and small ones. But never would either of us resent the payments, not a penny of it. Well, that is why he paid you.
No, Sally. He paid because he was afraid.
Of what?
Afraid of a sheet of paper in his handwriting lying in my brother's office. For I'd made him write out a confession of attempted murder in the presence of my brother while the police waited.
Why, that is the most monstrous lie. You let me see that.
It's in my brother's strongbox in London.
In London, I see. You can easily prove that.
All right, I'll prove it. 2 months ago, he suddenly stopped paying.
Oh, but that is not
true. Yes, it is. And I knew immediately that something new had come into his life. Something that was stronger than his fear.
What are you hinting at?
Didn't you tell me you were ill?
I am ill? Why, yes.
Sally, he's poisoning you as he tried to poison me.
You are mad.
There's another woman, isn't there, Sally?
Why should he have to poison me? Why? Why not ask me for a divorce if he loves somebody else?
Because he can't.
Why not?
When I agreed to divorce Jeffrey, I promised to keep silent about his confession as long as it remained faithfully married to you.
Oh, I don't believe one word you are saying. Not one word. Oh, you make me quite ill. Go away,
Sally,
will you?
Come with me out of this house.
Don't touch me, will you? I call the police if you don't go away.
Very well. But listen to me, and your life depends on it. When Jeffrey returns tonight, don't let him see that you suspect him, because you will suspect him as soon as you begin to think.
I will not. He's my husband, and I will not suspect
him.
He's
not your husband anymore, but Cecily Harden's sweetheart. Listen. He brings you hot milk and a sleeping draught at night, doesn't he? Don't take it tonight.
Go away, will you?
Sally.
Please.
Sally, here, please take this.
Go away,
you may need it.
Penny, oh, Penny, please.
Sally.
Oh, thank God you are coming. Please come in. Oh, make this woman go away, will you? She's such a filthy harlot.
Are you a friend of Sally's?
Why, yes.
Oh, I'm staying at the Hotel du Bois tonight. I can be here in 10 minutes if you need me, and I think you will need me.
Oh, stop.
I think you'd better go at once.
Very well. But before I go, let me tell you this. Sally's life is in danger. Very great danger.
As if nature itself were conspiring to create an atmosphere of tension, the Mistral, that cold, dry, northwest wind of the Mediterranean, rises during the day. Bored with being confined in the house for 2 months, Sally had planned a little party that night with Pennington, her neighbor Mrs. Latham, and Mrs. Latham's daughter, Cecily Harden, as guests. Sometime after the party had begun, Jeffrey, his hair tousled and clothes disordered by the Mistral, returned.
Hello, everybody. How are you, Mrs. Latham?
Very well, thanks. Terrible, this Mistral, isn't it?
All right, it is terrible. Good evening, Cecily. Hello, Pennington. Sally, darling, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you, darling.
She's just given us the fright of our lives. She fainted dead away just after we'd come in from dinner.
Faint?
Oh, it was nothing at all, darling.
Sally. Sally, I know what would be good for you. Some of that old Armagnac brandy.
No, no, thank you, darling. I don't want it.
Now, darling, you remember what Dr. Tuttle said? It's medicine. I'll go and get it.
He does look after you well, Sally.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Layton, he does.
You know, very interesting about these robberies in St. Helair. Everybody's talking about them.
Heavens, I hope we shan't find our house burgled when we get home, Mother.
Oh, please, Cecily.
Only a few things of value in each place, but every home ransacked from top to bottom.
What are you doing? Discussing the famous St. Helair robbery?
Yes.
Here's your brandy, dear.
Thank you.
Oh, Cecily, what will you have?
I'd like a very little whiskey with a lot of soda.
Sally, aren't you going to drink your brandy?
Well, yes, in a moment I will. Then may I have a cigarette, please?
Of course. Here, have one of mine.
No, thank you. I don't want any of yours. I'd like one of ours. Over there on that little table. Oh, I am so sorry. Spilled that lovely brandy all over the floor.
I'll clean it up.
No, don't bother, Pennington. I'll do it.
Oh, sorry.
Sally, I'll get you another glass as soon as I clean this up.
No, thank you, Jeffrey. I don't want one.
Now, medicine must take it.
No, thank you, Jeffrey. I don't want it.
Well, I all think right, it's time well. We all went home and let poor Sally get some rest. I do hope we haven't worn you out too much, my dear.
Oh, no, Mrs. Latham. I loved it.
Jeffrey, I want to speak to you for a moment.
I'll see you outside, sister.
Good night, Sally, dear.
Night, Cecily.
I'll come and see you people at the gate. I'll be back in a moment, Sally.
Night, Penny, darling. I hope my party wasn't too dull for you.
Sally, I'm worried about you.
Oh, no.
That woman this afternoon.
Oh, no.
What did she want?
Don't worry, darling, please. I'm perfectly all right. I'll see you in the morning, won't I? You come early. Don't worry, please. I'm perfectly all right. Really.
Yes, but good night.
Night.
Night, everybody.
Good night, Jeffrey.
Hello, Sally.
Hello.
Well, party go off all right?
Oh, yes. They seem to enjoy it, all of them.
Good.
Darling, I'm rather tired. If you don't mind, I'd like to go to bed.
May yes, of course, dear. Sally, you realize you haven't kissed me?
Oh, haven't I?
Most definitely not. Come here, dear. Do you call that a kiss? What's the matter?
Nothing.
Oh, yes, there is. What is it?
Nothing, darling. Really nothing. Oh, darling, I'm so tired. Do you mind if I go upstairs?
Sally, did anything happen today?
No, nothing happened, no. Why do you ask?
Well, I was only wondering, that's all. You don't seem very fond of me this evening. You're sure nothing happened?
Oh, sure, nothing happened.
You're lying. Why?
I'm not.
Then what has changed my wife, who was passionately in love with me at 10 o'clock this morning, into a stranger at 11 o'clock tonight?
My darling, are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, you can't be.
Did Harriet's brother come here today?
Oh, but why should he come here when you were to meet
him? Don't keep penning me off. Something's happened to you today. What was it?
Oh, but darling, you are imagining
things. I am not imagining the change in you. You haven't been hearing things about me, have you?
Should I have heard, darling?
Well, this place is a hotbed of gossip and lies, and, well, you know what it's like.
Oh, you think people might have been gossiping about
you? You swear nothing's happened.
Oh, I swear. Are you satisfied now?
Yes, I suppose so.
Well, then may I go to bed, darling? Please, may I?
You know, I had an idea you spilled that brandy on purpose.
Why, really, Jeffrey? Who on earth would spill that lovely old brandy on purpose? Why, you're a bit mad tonight.
Yes, perhaps
you
I am.
You are tired out, darling.
Yes.
I'm tired out, too. Now, may I go to bed, please?
Oh, darling, of course you may. Go on. I'll bring you a milk.
Jeffrey, darling, may I have my milk down here tonight? I'd rather have it down here. You mind if I have it down here?
No, of course not, darling.
I'd rather.
I'll go get it.
Don't let him see that you suspect him. That's what she said. Because you will suspect him as soon as you begin to think.
Here we are. Here's your milk, darling.
Thank you. Did you put the car away?
No, dear, not yet. Sally, why don't you drink your milk?
But I do, dear. Don't you see I'm sipping?
Oh, yes. Well, I'd better put the car away now. I don't like leaving it out in this wind. Sand's cracking this stove. I'll be back in a few moments.
She was right. Harriet was right. What am I to do with this milk? I could go in the kitchen and pour it in the sink. No, there is no time. I know I'll pour it out the window. The revolver. The revolver she gave me, where is it? Oh, in the desk. I must take it with me.
Sally goes upstairs to her room. Jeffrey returns to the house. Suddenly, the shutter which Sally left unfastened swings to with a crash. Jeffrey investigates, discovers Sally has spilt the milk outside. His suspicion becomes certainty. He walks to the bell cord and removes it. He knows what he must do. Slowly, he walks upstairs until he is outside Sally's door.
Sally! Sally! May I come in. Sally. Sally, there's something I want to talk to you about. Are you asleep? Sally!
What is it, Jeffrey?
Sit up a second, dear.
Oh, but I'm so tired, darling. Please.
Lock the door, darling.
Oh, have I? Never mind, Jeffrey.
I want to come in.
Oh, please, darling, don't make me get up. I'm so sleepy. I've taken a sleeping draught.
Sally! Sally! All right.
He's gone. I'll phone Penny. Hello? 68-75. Oui, merci. Penny, oh, Penny, please, you better take the car and come right. Hello? Penny? Penny? Oh, what is the matter with that phone? Hello? Hello, mademoiselle. Ne quittez pas, s'il vous plaît. Hello? Hello? What am I going to do? Oh, the chair. I'll put it against the door. Can't come in now. I'm safe.
Sally! Why must I find it necessary to come in through the window to see my wife? So, you're not going to tell me?
No, Jeffrey. I'm not going to answer any more questions. Spare me from having to tell.
I see. Oh, suitcases packed and everything. All set to go away, aren't you?
Yes, Jeffrey, I am. Please, just let me go away. You will never see or hear of me again, I swear.
Taking a little trip with Pennington, eh? I don't like the idea. Anyway, I don't think he got your message.
Oh,
I cut the wire.
Jeffrey, don't come near me.
Listen, you are ill. You mustn't forget that. It's the most important thing in the world. Now, you're going to go to sleep. I'm going to put you to bed. You are ill, you know.
Am I? Am I, Jeffrey? I wonder what's the matter with me. Have you brought me some more of your medicine?
What?
That lovely, soothing medicine of yours. That you give me every day in soup and milk and wine. Did you bring me some more of it? Did you? Did you?
Who told you? Who told you?
Never mind, Jacob. Never mind who told me anything. Just let me go.
There you are! You're my enemy now. Now you're going to take this medicine. You're going to go to sleep. While you're asleep, I'll take this bell cord. And...
You strangle me!
No! Oh, not me! Anna Lair burglar, everyone be talking about. They'll find everything in the house according to the burglar reports. And you'll be on the bed with this bell cord around your neck, and I'll be fast asleep in the dressing room. And the French police won't look any deeper into the matter.
Stay where you are, or I'll shoot.
Who gave you that gun?
Open that door and let me go.
Oh, I can't let you go now. You might tell.
No, I won't, Jeffrey. For the last time, I won't tell. If you let me go at once.
I don't trust you now. It's your life or mine.
Your life, Jeffrey. If you don't open that door, you better open that door.
All right.
Let me go! Let me go!
Now I'm going to...
Harriet! Harriet is here!
Harriet!
Harriet! You'll have a post-mortem made of me, and the poison will be found in my body, and you'll be hanged, you fool! You'll be hanged, Jeffrey! You'll be hanged.
Why'd they leave you alone with me? They knew I was going to kill you. You've made it up to gain time, haven't you?
No, answer me! No, no, I stayed here because I couldn't believe what Harriet said. And I still can't. I can't. This is a nightmare. Make me wake up, Jeffrey. Make me wake up. Oh, Jeffrey. What have you done, Jeffrey? What have you done?
Carol! Carol, where are you? Pennington. Here I am, Pennington. Just a moment. I'll be down and open the door for you. Harriet's with him. And two men. The police.
Get out, Jeffrey. Get out quickly. I'll cover your escape. I'll go down and I'll speak to them. I'll deny everything Harriet says. Just go away and never come back and never let me see you again.
All right. I'll go away and never come back.
Carol! Carol! Do you want me to break that door down?
Jeffrey, don't!
Sally!
Jeffrey!
Are you up there?
Jeffrey!
Are you all right?
Jeffrey!
Are you all right?
Yes. I am all right.
Elizabeth Bergner, Onslow Stevens, Tiano Bergiotti, Grace Colpin, Marjorie Maud, and Joan Wetmore for a beautiful performance. Incidentally, Philco Radio Hall of Fame congratulates Warner Brothers on acquiring the film rights for the two Mrs. Carroll. And now, a few words from Glenn Riggs.
Thank you, Ray. Paul Whiteman, as a prominent musician, and I do mean prominent, what is the first thing you'd look for in buying a new radio or phonograph?
Why, Glenn, my answer is the same as any other musician. Beauty of tone.
Yes, and that's just what the American public says. Music lovers and musicians alike. Yes, a recent national survey showed that most people choose a new radio or radio phonograph for its beauty of tone. And in the same survey, those same people expressed an overwhelming preference for the particular radio they want to buy. It's a Philco, by an average of 3-1 over any other make.
That doesn't surprise me, Glenn. They go together. Philco and beautiful tone. For years and years, I've preferred the tone of a Philco. That's why I have several of them spotted around my home.
Right you are, Paul. Philco and beauty of tone have been synonymous ever since Philco became America's favorite radio 14 years ago. And after victory, you can look to Philco Engineering to bring you even more glorious beauty of tone in radio and recorded music. New electronic advances are coming, new designs, and new features that will make your records sound more beautiful than ever, that will give you radio reception with amazing clearness and purity of tone. Yes, for the newest advances in radio tone and performance, look to Philco, the leader, famous for quality the world over. Your Radio Hall of Fame will continue after station identification. This is the Blue Network. You are listening to your Radio Hall of Fame, in which this week you find Elizabeth Bergner, Onslow Stevens, and the cast of The Two Mrs. Carrolls, Hildegard, The Three Sons, and Paul Whiteman. You continue your tour under the guidance of your guest master of ceremonies, Ray Bolger.
Oh, Hildegard.
Oh, yes, Ray, I'm here. I'm coming.
Yes, Ray. I'm glad to see you. You know, I might have kidded you about the gags before, but I want you to know it's a distinct privilege to have such a charming and gracious lady amongst us, ain't it?
You flatter me. But I am grateful for your tribute, Ray.
Oh, that's all right. I've always gotten a thrill out of you.
Oh, Ray, you overpower me.
That might be fun, too. But, Hildegard, I've watched you perform in those swanky Park Avenue cafes, the Persian Room and the Raleigh Room, and you're wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Ah, dear. You flit from table to table, chatting with your distinguished guests, and yet you always retain that air of reserve of someone far away, unreachable, unattainable, like a waiter at Lindy's.
But, Ray, if you enjoy mingling with a social set, I must invite you to my next tea.
Tea? How jolly. Shall I bring my own bag?
Any friend of yours is a friend of mine.
Oh, dear, I'll ignore that. Simply because you sing so romantical.
What was that again?
I said I'll ignore that simply because you sing so romantical.
Romantical?
Yes.
Do I really?
I remember the last time I heard you, I was having alphabet soup. When you began singing, every letter I in that plate blew its top.
Oh, you're much too kind.
No. I think you're the most romantic singer I ever heard. Why, when you sing The Last Time I Saw Paris, I can almost see the postcards in your eyes. How about singing one of those intimate songs for us now?
All right, Ray, I'll be delighted to. I will sing a song which is intimate in a way because it is in the thoughts of every one of us. The song is called When the Boys Come Home, and I know we all hope that that will be very, very soon. When the boys come home, the clouds will trip lightly away, away. The clouds will trip lightly away.
When the boys come home, we'll all be as merry as May, as May. We'll all be as merry as May. There'll be drums and trumpets, tea and crumpets out on the village green. A silvery moon for that reunion scene. Oh, what joy when the boys come home. The clouds will trip lightly away, away. The clouds will trip lightly away. There'll be drums and trumpets, tea and crumpets out on the village green. A silvery moon for that reunion scene. Oh, what joy when the boys come home. The glorious sound of the tramping feet will echo down the winding street that leads to a lane where lovers meet. And may it prove so sweet, so sweet, that they will never more roam. When the boys come home.
Hey, Paul.
Yes, Paul White.
Yes. Say, wasn't that play with Elizabeth Bergen at the two Mrs. Carrolls exciting?
Oh, you bet. It had me right on the edge of my seat all through it.
That's giving it quite an edge. But what got me was the way poor Mrs. Carroll had to live in the same house with a murderer.
That's not so tough.
Oh, yeah. Suppose you were married to a woman who was going to kill you.
It's only a question of time with any of them.
Paul, I've got an idea. Let's make believe we're both married to the same woman, a murderess. At present, I live with her in a bleak English house on the moors.
Presenting now, the two Mr. Hildegards.
Come in! Come in!
I say there, chappy old Beano Bois. Are you Raymond Hildegard?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Who are you?
I'm Paul, the very first Mr. Hildegard.
Really now, from here you look like the first three.
Oh, boy, don't you believe that I'm the first Mr. Hildegard?
Oh, by Jove, yes. Now I remember. The missus even told me about your honeymoon.
Please, please, sir, let's not be crude.
What a honeymoon. You had twin beds just for yourself. Very amusing.
I've come in here on a most serious mission. Your wife is trying to poison you, old boy, as she did me.
Oh, come now.
Scoff if you like, but she put small doses of poison in the milk. Then every day for 12 years she made me drink milk.
Finally got you looking like the cow, didn't she? And now... now she's trying to poison me?
Yes, old boy.
Oh. Oh, darling.
Oh, dear.
She mustn't see me. I'll hide here behind this couch. Now, what are you staring? What are you staring at?
Don't look now, but your hip is showing.
Well, put a vase on it, old boy. And don't forget, don't drink the milk.
Let me in, darling. Oh. Let me in your bedroom.
Why don't these things ever happen to me in real life? I'm sorry, dear, but I refuse to let you in the room.
You won't open the door?
No.
Welcome to Inner Sanctum.
Hello, Raymond, old thing. Give me a kiss.
No.
Oh, you are getting to be an old thing. But, darling, guess what? I have some milk for you.
I don't want any milk.
But Raymond, dearest, you're so thin. You're so very thin.
Am I really thin?
Yes, of course. Why do you think I wear these bobby socks around the house? Come now, drink this milk.
All right.
What's that?
Heartburn.
You look so pale, Raymond. Are you afraid of me?
No. No. What makes you think I'm afraid? You've seen me bite my nails before.
Yes, but never the ones on your feet.
Well, things have been mighty suspicious around here. For instance, what did you do with all the money I had?
I hid it.
Where?
Right here in my stockings.
Oh, yeah. Two of the nicest safety vaults in the kingdom.
Oh, you are a dear. Here, have some milk.
All right.
What was that?
Still the same old fat heartburn.
Raymond, I have a feeling there's someone else in this house.
No, there isn't. No, there isn't. No one is ever in this house, and I get so lonesome whenever you go out.
Don't fret, darling. Next time I go, I'll get rigor mortis to set in. Here, have some milk.
I know your plan now. You want to do me in with that homogenized Mickey Finn.
No. No, you're wrong. Kiss me.
No. I take an oath never to touch you or kiss you again.
You're never going to touch her or kiss her again?
No.
Here, drink the milk, kid. You got nothing left to live for.
Well, Miss Bergner, how did you like our little play?
Well, Mr. Bolger, I can only answer you in the words of a very famous film star.
Yes?
Thanks. I go home.
I realize, of course, that if I were to say that the three sons playing on an accordion, a Spanish and electric guitar, and an electric organ will now electrify you with their presentation of Tico Tico, you would be justified in pinning on me the Order of the Royal Cob, awarded to MCs who give out with corny introductions. I humbly accept the award. The three sons will now electrify you with Tico Tico.
Thank you.
feel it a great honor to have been the guest master of ceremonies on your Philco Radio Hall of Fame, which today featured Hildegard, the three sons, Paul Whiteman and the orchestra, Elizabeth Bergner, Onslow Stevens, and the cast of The Two Mrs. Carrolls. Before I go, there's one little thought I'd like to leave with you. I've been privileged to entertain the most enthusiastic and appreciative audience in the world, your fighting men overseas. But each home can be its own little USO unit and entertain these boys in a far more effective way than anything we performers can do. I mean, by writing letters to them. I found that there are just about three things soldiers seem to want in letters more than anything else. They want to hear all about the girlfriend. They have one. They want to hear how well the family's doing. And I mean how well. Because no man can carry the responsibility of fighting a war and worry about his family at the same time. And they want to be amused. And now, this is Ray Bolger dancing down the stairway of your Radio Hall of Fame, leaving Gren Riggs to post a sign saying, "No admittance until next Sunday afternoon." So long.
Before you leave your Radio Hall of Fame, make a note to buy an extra $100 war bond tomorrow. The sixth war loan drive is on. How about giving your dollars, every extra dollar you can spare, a chance to help finish the war and win the peace? Buy that extra $100 bond tomorrow, won't you? Next Sunday, your Radio Hall of Fame admits these stars made great by your recognition of their achievements. Stage and screen star Frederick March, who will act as guest master of ceremonies and appear in scenes from A Bell for Adano, his latest play, soon to open on Broadway. Ace torch singer Georgia Gibbs and that hilarious satirist of the piano, Victor Borga, will be similarly honored. A switch of the dial to the station carrying this program will be your ticket of admission to your Radio Hall of Fame. This is the Blue Network.